We love new beginnings, don't we? A fresh start, new possibilities, a clean slate. So think of some of the new possibilities we experience in this life. I'll walk you through a couple of them. How about spring? Anybody thankful for spring right now? Wasn't it an awesome week after a winter of cold and even snow in March and bare trees? Finally, we have blooms coming out. This is from my backyard here just the other day. Spring is on its way. Short sleeves, shorts, cutting the grass again. Love spring. How about this one? And most of the kids just left here, but how about this? The first day of school for kids. Don't you just love new beginnings, right? Every August, September, going back to school. And you guys don't want to talk about that, you students. This is the end of school, right? Coming up in about 6 weeks, school will end. College students, you'll have an ending earlier than that. Any college students here today? Yeah, okay, it's coming soon. I'm sure you're ready. This is a picture from several years ago with our four boys. I think Jaden's about to sneeze right there in the sunlight. Mom and Dad always take that picture on the first day of school, don't they? To get you launched off into your day, new teacher, new classmates. And with that usually goes a new outfit. Right? Who doesn't love a new outfit to get to go to the store and bring it back home with you, a new shirt or pants, and cut off the tags and wear an outfit for the first time? And this week I got to bring home a new pair of sandals and cut off the tags and wear my new sandals around. That was my big thing for the week. Did anybody else get anything new this week to wear? Maybe a new Easter outfit? We love new beginnings. It can be for something small, like what we're talking about, or it could be about something big, something in life where maybe you've just made a big mess of something and you need a second chance. Or maybe it's some in a relationship and you messed up and you need someone to forgive you and clean your slate to know that they accept you and that they love you. Or maybe it's a new job or moving somewhere. When we start out new, when we have a new beginning, it gives us hope that change is possible. It gives us hope that there are greater things in the future for us. We love new beginnings. And maybe some of you are here today thinking, you know, the circumstances in my life, I could use a new beginning of sorts. Well, it's Easter today, and it's a day about new beginnings. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And if anything should give us confidence that new beginnings are possible, it should be Easter. Why? Because a dead man came back to life again. That's why. It gives us the knowledge that with God, anything is possible, that he can do things in our lives that we don't expect. That he can use that same resurrection power and do things in your life and in mine. And today we are going through the book of Mark. We're going to be looking in Mark chapter 16. And we've been in a study in the book of Mark. We're back in chapter 3. But for today we're going to talk about the resurrection. Mark chapter 16. I invite you to turn in your Bible there. If you don't have a Bible or a Bible app, you can grab one in the seat back in front of you and turn to page 1067. That's the cue for today, page 1067. And we'll be reading the story of Jesus' resurrection in Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 1, through the perspective of the author, Mark. This is what he says. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That is the story of Easter from 2,000 years ago, that first Easter. Jesus had been dead since Friday. He was crucified on Friday afternoon, and his body was taken off the cross and put in a tomb Friday evening, and he was in the tomb overnight Friday and all day Saturday and overnight Saturday until early Sunday morning when this happened. Jesus had been crucified on Good Friday. We just celebrated this 2 days ago, that Jesus died for the sins of the world, that the innocent one was on the cross for all of the guilty ones. Us. Jesus in our place, the Savior, God Himself, was dead and buried in a tomb. It looked like evil had won. And if there was ever a need for a new beginning, it was that day, Easter Sunday morning. And that's where the resurrection of Jesus comes in. There's three truths about the resurrection I want us to see in Mark chapter 16 that we'll look back into and that will determine kind of the layout for this morning. Three things. The first one is the resurrection really happened in history. And you might be going, well, Steve, this is Easter Sunday in a church full of people who came to celebrate the resurrection. Why are you putting this as the first point? Because, first of all, not everyone does agree. Not everyone believes this. But it is Mark's great concern as he begins chapter 16 to give evidence that Jesus did raise from the dead. He has at the primary core of his evidence the testimony of three particular women: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. And actually, he backs up into chapter 15. If you look up just a little ways earlier, at verse 40 of chapter 15, and he says that these women were there at the cross witnessing Jesus' death. It says, some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. So Mark is very careful to record, these women saw Jesus die on the cross. They were there as the Roman soldiers declared him dead and took his body down off of the cross. And then they were there as his body was buried in a tomb. You look down the next verses following, a man named Joseph provided a tomb for Jesus. And in verse 47, we see Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. They were eyewitnesses to what happened. And then in verse 1 of chapter 16, he records that they were there and saw the empty tomb that he raised from the dead. Why is this significant? Well, first off, ladies, you should know that the Bible is not only about men, right? Yeah? Yeah, this is a good thing. Easter Sunday, we're talking about how God has women at the primary core of the story of Easter. But in their day and age, this was significant because women's testimony would not have been as credible as a man's testimony. That's the Jewish culture, it's the Roman culture. And it's interesting, why would Mark put that in there? Well, in God's wisdom, he knew from his point of view that later on, as people would attack the credibility of the book of Mark, it actually would hold up greater with women as eyewitnesses, because if someone were wanting to invent the story of the resurrection, if someone were wanting to fabricate this, they would not put women in here. They would know, well, we've got to put guys in here. And guys are like, well, where are we in the story? Well, the disciples come later on, and they're also witnesses to the empty tomb. But Mark is saying, no, these ladies are here, and no one would make this up. Mary, and Salome get to go down in history as the first eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were there. They had watched. They had seen the death. They had seen the burial, and now they saw the resurrection. Three of them are named, which is another significant point, because you don't just take the testimony of one person or even just two. You take the testimony of three. It has their formal names recorded so that if you wanted to, in the day that this was written, you could go to these three ladies and say, did this really happen? And they could say, yes, it did happen. I'll tell you all about it. And they could give the story. I think this is a significant point to talk about the resurrection really happening in history, because not only do we have evidence here in Mark, but we have all kinds of evidence in the other gospel writers and even outside of the Bible that Jesus did raise from the dead. But there are times in our lives where if we've heard a story long enough, it kind of grows old and it kind of grows too familiar to us. And you lose the impact of what it really meant. Or maybe it's like when you've read something from a book, but you haven't really taken it to heart. When we moved here 2 years ago, one of the things that we wanted to do was go down and visit Gettysburg and see the fields where the war had happened. And it's a historical site not too far away from here. So we thought, well, we got to go see Gettysburg. I had taken a U.S. history class in high school, the AP level, college level, and we learned all about Gettysburg and the Civil War. We spent a lot of time on that, and I thought, you know, this would be an interesting place to go and take our kids and look at. But when you actually get to the battlefield and you hear the stories of what happened at all the different places and you can visualize the armies coming together and this line over here and this line over here and picture the cannons firing and the guns firing, doesn't it change things for you? So when you think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to know that they took careful detail to make sure people knew this wasn't just a story made up, this really happened, it should do something for us. As I was reading this past week and studying and praying and thanking God for what he did, as I read the stories of the cross and of his resurrection, I had that kind of realization hit me again. This really happened. You know, we're not just talking about some good story. This really happened. I've believed that for many, many years, but it hits you again. You go, Jesus died for my sin, and he was buried, and he really rose again. That's supernatural kind of power that you just don't hear about every day. And to think that Jesus is not dead even still. He is alive and well, and folks, he's even here today. We just sang a song that he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. Jesus lives. Has that sunk in to you again? Hopefully today, this Easter, as you think about the fact that it really happened, it can change and freshen our perspective on Christ, that he still works powerfully in this world and in our own lives. He himself had a new beginning, and he can offer us new beginnings. Well, the next thing we see in these verses is that the resurrection brings hope for even people like us, sinners. Hope is actually the tone of the entire passage here that we read. As the ladies came to the tomb and they weren't sure what they were going to do, they weren't sure how they were going to get it open, they come and the stone is rolled away and they see an angel inside, and the angel has been sent to them with a specific message. He says, don't be alarmed. Jesus isn't here. Look at his grave clothes. He's risen. And he told them to tell the disciples, go tell them that Jesus rose from the dead. That was the message from the angel. But the angel said, go tell the disciples and one particular person. Did you catch who it was in verse 7? Go tell the disciples and Peter. Why Peter? What was the specific thing that God wanted to get across through this angel to get a message to Peter for? What was that all about? See, Peter was a prominent disciple among the disciples. He was a leader among them, and Jesus had told him, I've got incredible plans for you. But do you know what happened to Peter just a few days earlier? Peter was the one who was always sticking his foot in his mouth. He was the one who was overconfident about things. And he said to Jesus, as Jesus was talking about what was going to happen, and the disciples didn't fully understand it, Peter said, Jesus, I'm never going to let this happen to you. And I'm going to stick by you no matter what. Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will. And Jesus had predicted, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will have disowned me 3 times. And what happened? By the time the rooster crowed the next morning, Peter had denied Jesus three times. See, Jesus had been arrested, and Peter stuck up for Jesus there and wanted to fight. And Jesus said, okay, put away your swords. And he went with these guys, and they arrested him, and he was put on trial. And things began to turn and change real fast. The disciples picked up on the fact that they weren't going to be able to stop this. And then they realized, you know, our lives might be at stake here too. And Peter was kind of watching the trial from outside, and it was all happening in here, and it was getting real heated. And as that was going on, someone came up to Peter and said, aren't you one of his guys? Weren't you with him? And Peter said, no, you got the wrong guy here. I wasn't with him. No, you were. We've seen you before with Jesus. I don't even know him. I don't know what you're talking about. Three times Peter denied Jesus. And it says at that moment, the rooster crowed. And Jesus, knowing what was going on full well, even though he was in the midst of a trial and being mocked and being beaten, looked out at Peter and made eye contact with him. And he says, the scripture says at that minute, as Peter saw Jesus and remembered the words, it says he went out and he wept bitterly, ashamed of what he had done. Ashamed that he couldn't stand up and stand strong for Jesus in that time that he needed him. Knowing he didn't have the strength to follow Jesus like he needed to. And Peter is not even recorded to having been there at the rest of the trial. He's not even recorded to having been there at the cross, been there at the burial. Peter was so ashamed of what he had done, he had gone into hiding. That's the mindset that Peter was in when Jesus rose from the dead. He had messed up. He had guilt. He had shame. And Jesus said specifically, tell the disciples and Peter that I've risen from the dead. Jesus wanted to offer him a new start. Maybe you can identify with Peter. I know I can. Always messing up, always saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. I can't stay walking with God for long enough. There's not one person in here who can stay on the straight and narrow, who can really walk that path with God. If you've ever had a car that was out of alignment, you know what it's like when you're driving down the road and no matter how much you want to go straight, if you don't hold the steering wheel like this, your car drifts off to one direction. I had an old car that I didn't care a whole lot about, and the front two tires were kind of leaky, and one tire leaked more than the other. And if I didn't keep putting air in the tires like every other day, one would get flatter than the other and it would do that pulling to the side thing. I hated driving that car. Eventually I got it fixed and it was all right, and we don't have that car anymore. It's gone, right? Lisette hated that car. Not that my car now is much better. It's a rust bucket. But when you keep pulling out of alignment like that, Jesus loves to extend grace to people who know they have that problem, who are willing to admit it and say, I can't keep my car on the road, Jesus. I keep veering off to the side and I keep making a mess. Will you forgive me? Will you come and set the alignment right? I need you. I need your help. He doesn't extend that grace to those who don't think they have much of a problem, to those who aren't willing to admit that. But today, Jesus stands here ready still to forgive sinners and change sinners who are willing to ask, who are willing to meet with that resurrected Jesus. He's given the invitation. I want to meet with you. He'll come. He'll change our hearts. He'll give us a clean slate. He'll fix the alignment. And I don't know what it's like for you this Easter Sunday coming to church, if you feel like you're on the inside or on the outside. The people on the inside are like, yeah, this is what I do. I love coming to church. I love to sing. And people on the outside are going like, how do these people know all of what's going on? And why are they so happy? What are they so excited about? I want to give you a secret. All right? There's not a person in this room who has their life all together. There's not a person in this room who doesn't have a whole trail of sin in their past. But I'll tell you the ones who are really happy. are the ones who realize that Jesus came and forgave them, and that Jesus loves them, and he's changed their lives, and they're just so incredibly grateful for that. That's the joy you see. That's the change you see. That's what a follower of Christ experiences. And so if you're looking at that going, I need that in my life. Well, today is the day you can talk to Jesus and have that conversation and say, Lord, I want to trade in my old life, maybe even trade in the old car and get a whole new one. I need a second chance. I need a clean slate. I need you to come into my life and forgive me. And in a few minutes, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If that's you needing a new start, Jesus came to give hope to sinners like Peter and like me and like you. But there's one last thing we need to see in this passage, and that's that the resurrection proves something else. It proves that Jesus can do impossible things. Jesus can do things that no human can do. Think about it. A stone was rolled away. Jesus rose from the dead. He left his grave clothes there and walked out. Folks, that's supernatural. That's power that we don't have. And no, he did what no one else expected, no one else believed could happen. Look at the reaction from these ladies as they encounter this. Verse 8, they can hardly wrap their minds around this. It says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That's a natural reaction. Trembling, fear, bewildered, confused. They fled. They didn't say anything to anyone because I can imagine they were at the tomb when this all happened and they might have been looking at each other like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? There's an angel there. Are you hearing what I'm hearing? He said he's risen from the dead. And their thoughts had to probably go to others as he said, go tell the disciples. And they're going, they're not going to believe us. I'm not sure I would believe us. They're going to think we're crazy. Well, that's the power of God, folks. He does things that you and I cannot understand because it's beyond the normal. It's beyond our human ability. People don't just raise from the dead. Jesus took the situation that looked hopeless and he turned it around. See, it looked like Satan had won. It looked like evil had won. It looked like Jesus' kingdom had been snuffed out before it ever began. But God specializes in taking what looks like a lost cause and turning it into something amazing. He's able to do that. Because life doesn't go exactly how we plan, does it? It has twists and turns and ups and downs. And it has problems and disappointments. And we could never predict at the beginning of our lives exactly how it would play out, could we? Think about your life. How much stuff have you encountered that you're just like, wow, I never saw that coming. I was thinking, you know, we could have an open mic here and have you come up one by one and all of you tell all of those things that are the ups and downs in your life, the struggles, the problems that you're facing. And we could come one by one and have you all share. We're not going to do this because it would take all day. But just think about it. You could all do it. I could do it. And we go, man, that is really depressing. Listen to all this that's going on in our lives. And just read the news and what's going on in the world. And you go, how does this make sense? Isn't it great to know there's a God who can do the impossible and who offers new beginnings? Jesus can. Now, he's not a genie in a bottle. He's not someone who grants our every wish and just wants to just change everything. Bring, and your life is perfectly, all better with no problems. But Jesus is the author of a story that started in the beginning at creation, and he's taking it to an amazing ending. And you and I, when we come to Jesus in faith, when we trust in Jesus and walk with Jesus, we get to see how he's using even the stuff in our lives to make an amazing ending that is good for us and it glorifies him. That's what he's doing. He's taking the whole spectrum, the whole scope, and writing a story that we'll turn around one day and go, wow, that was awesome. We may not be able to see it right now, but that's what he's doing. The author Paul David Tripp wrote an article about Jesus' death and resurrection, And he's writing of the death of Christ on the cross. He says, the most horrible thing that happened was the most wonderful thing that ever happened. Be careful how you make sense of your life. What looks like a disaster may in fact be grace. What looks like the end may be the beginning. The resurrection proved that. And what looks like it's hopeless may be God's instrument to give you real and lasting hope. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, is committed to taking what seems so bad and turning it into something that is very, very good. See, I don't know what you might be going through, but I do know this. There is nothing that he can't take and turn into something amazing. No past hurt, no present trial, no future problem. He has limitless supernatural resurrection power to work in history and to work in your life. Look at this verse from Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. It says, I pray that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I pray that you would know this power. It's incomparable. There's no other source of power like this, and it's for those who believe. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work then in your life and in mine as we believe in Christ and trust in Christ and walk with him. Isn't that awesome? It's great to know that, folks, when you get that and when you trust him, it's a new beginning. Every time that that truth comes new and every time that you trust Jesus, every time that you kind of lay down your power that you want to hang on to it as your own God and say, no, it's not me, it's Jesus. And you lay it down and say, Lord, you've got to take this. It's a new beginning. So his resurrection power is deep enough to give you a new spiritual life. As Pastor Kyle said at the beginning from Colossians, he can raise us from the dead spiritually. His power is enough to offer forgiveness and change in us when we need it. It's deep enough to heal relationships, to resurrect relationships. It's strong enough to carry us through depression or loneliness or grief or loss. It's strong enough to be able to face, for us to be able to face every hardship that life could throw at us, including sickness and in death, because what can the world do to us if we have Christ in us? Nothing, because we know the end of the story. Because as Christ was raised from the dead, those who believe are also going to be raised from the dead. We have heaven waiting for us that will be absolutely perfect. There's nothing the world can do to us. There's no problem that we can face that will be too much. This world isn't so full of gloom and doom. Easter is a time of joy and celebration because fresh starts and new beginnings are possible with Jesus. It began with that first Easter where Jesus himself rose from the dead. It really happened in history, folks. A dead man rose and still walks today. And that resurrected Jesus gives hope for sinners who have drifted away from God and have made a mess and need grace. And that resurrected Jesus can do the impossible and in your life and in mine. And folks, that's great news. There is a God who's defeating sin and death and evil, and he's going to make all things right. He is the God of new beginnings. Do you need a new beginning today? It's possible through Christ, whatever you need. Maybe you need a new start as a sinner who needs grace. You need to know Jesus stands ready to meet with you. Like he did with Peter. That as you come humbly and know that you need forgiveness and change, he can offer it to you. Maybe you need a new beginning to trust him with things that you have been fearing, things that you've been holding on to that are impossible in your life. Jesus stands ready to infuse you with hope and with his resurrection power because he's able. He's a God of new beginnings. And he's a God who writes stories with incredible endings. Do you believe that? That's our Jesus. He invites us to come to him. And so with that, I would invite you to go before him in prayer. Let's go to him in prayer together. With your heads bowed, I just want to talk to those who would need grace and forgiveness from Jesus. And this is an opportunity. You're not going to be embarrassed. No, we're not going to call you out and make you do anything. It's just between you and God. He can hear you in your heart. If you've never addressed your guilt of being out of alignment with Jesus, here's what he did for you out of his love. Jesus nailed your sin to the cross with him. He died for it, and he rose again to conquer it. And because he has new life, he can offer you new life. He wants to come into your life and change you. If that's what you need, I invite you to pray this in your heart along with me. It's not these exact words. It's your heart cry that matters to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need your grace. Would you come and give me new life today because you have new life? Would you come into my life and change me so that I don't keep doing this? I give you my life. I trade it in, and I take your life, that I could know you and walk with you. By your resurrection power, would you do this for me? I just want to say, if you prayed a prayer like that, this is a new beginning. It's a new start. God responds to prayers offered in faith. And it's kind of like a seed that begins to grow in the springtime. It needs to be watered. It needs to be in the right soil. It needs sunlight. You need to be in an environment where you can continue to grow, but you have it. It's there. Today, Easter Sunday, is the day when a new beginning started. If you don't have a church home that you go to, I invite you to come here with us so you could grow. Somewhere that teaches the word, somewhere that they encourage you to keep walking with Christ, whether it's our church or a different one. As we're still in this time of prayer, others of you may need to renew your trust in the God of the impossible. Maybe you have been feeling bound up by fear or just overwhelmed by things or just not knowing what the future would hold. You need to know this, that God sees what you are going through. He cares and will work with you and in you. And he'll bring about an ending of good. Scripture says he does that. He brings good to those who love him and trust him. Perhaps you need a new beginning in trusting him. And that just have you follow along with me in prayer here. Again, your heart cry to Jesus. Lord, I give my struggles to you now. My hurts and my pains, my disappointments, the unknowns. I've been holding on to them, but I give them to you. I need your help. Work in me with resurrection power. And I trust that you'll bring about an outcome that is both good and glorifying to you. I want a new beginning in how I handle this. Just know the Lord is with you. It says he's near to those who are humble. He's near to the brokenhearted. And he will walk with you. Lord, thank you that you are good, that you are alive and well. And Lord, even this morning that we can encounter you, our real, powerful, grace-filled Savior. Lord, we pray that in this day, we would remember, because we forget so quickly, that we have one who has gone before us, one who can take the sin. We're not even capable to stay walking with you, but you can pull us right along with you. Lord, we thank you for that. Pray that we would walk with our resurrected Savior in power, in confidence, and in hope. Lord, we pray that we would be ones that would worship you, that our lives would be changed, so that there's joy, so that we would celebrate our resurrected Lord and Savior. Lord, anybody who has felt on the outside today, pray that they would feel on the inside, not because of the people here, but because of you. We can be in with Jesus today. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen.